Yeah, he's Mr. Funky. He's Mr. Funky Teacher. Mr. Funky Teacher inspires greatness. Makes you feel good like your favorite playlist. Keeping it fresh and funky, yes he does. He got some funky cool ideas to share for all you teachers. He can empower others, students and teachers. It's all about hard work and creativity. He brings out the kindness in everyone. He's got the passion to teach, you hear it when he speaks. He knows how to build strong relationships. If you're seeking the best, the funkiest, he is it. He will empower you to improve. You'll be helping others and loving it too. He's Mr. Funky Teacher, yeah. He's Mr. Funky Teacher, yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is Mr. Funky Teacher with BeAFunkyTeacher.com. I'm coming to you with another Be a Funky Teacher podcast. That's right. I am so excited to be here with you. It is the second podcast of this podcast show. I'm so excited. I am just wrapping up the first day of the National Teacher Leadership Conference here in Orlando, Florida for NSTOI. What a day. I just have to tell you that right now. What an amazing day. It was an early morning. My first podcast talked about I was on my way from driving to Omaha, two hands on the road, but recording, talking about how excited I was for the day. And today did not disappoint here at NSTOI, this leadership conference. What a brilliant day. I got here. My plane landed about 10:20 this morning, and then was able to get a bus to come on over, to bring me over here. We're at the Disney, Yacht Club Resort here in Orlando, Florida. What a cool place. Beautiful. Boy, do they know how to do conferences. They have a beautiful space for it, a nice large space. It's just very updated, very clean. They're very helpful here. Just really enjoyed my time here. So I got here. Once I did get here at the it was late morning, or around lunchtime, I guess, by the time I did get here to the Disney Yacht Club. Just kind of wanted to explore the ground, so I was able to get checked in, an early check-in. Couldn't go to my room yet, but that's all right. And went to the Bell Hop Station. I think is it called Bell Hop? I think that's what it's called, the Bell Station. And checked my bags just for a little bit and started walking around, just kind of looking at the grounds, kind of doing some exploring. And then my room still wasn't quite done yet. I was in my airplane clothes still, kind of sweaty and kind of gross from the airplane. It was funny. I swapped it up and put some more professional clothes on in the bathroom here because my room wasn't quite ready yet. But you got to do what you got to do. And then I was able to let's see here. I was able to officially check in because I didn't want to check in. And like I said, my raggedy clothes just kind of smelling from being on an airplane. So I got checked in here around 2 o'clock, I guess. Hung out then. And then I was able to, before I knew it, I was able to get in my room and get unpacked. Just kind of get myself sorted out here because we had the welcoming session and keynote address starting at 4 o'clock. It's so neat to be here, seeing people walking around wearing their lanyards where it talks about the National Teacher Leadership Conference and it says their name on it, says where they're from. It's so exciting. I love a conference like this because every teacher I've met is just a high caliber, top-notch, phenomenal educator, and I'm very lucky. Back in Nebraska and Iowa, we are, there's so many great educators there too. So I'm spoiled in a lot of, not spoiled. I think that's actually a great thing that there's so many great teachers, and it's no different being here. And these teachers here at this conference are award-winning educators, decorated teachers in their state, well-respected and very well-spoken, and are very passionate about the world of education and impacting education by helping kids. That, they know that that's what it's all about. And they're really great about not getting bogged down by the negative stuff. I mean, they still do, and it's still, you know, there's a lot of things in education that's kind of defeating, but they're very upbeat, very encouraging, very positive, and I'm just loving being around them. And each new person I talk to, I just get more and more excited. So that's pretty exciting. In fact, I came in, I was looking around, I was able to talk to, I'm here because I'm presenting with a fellowship tomorrow. And so I was able to talk to the leader of the fellowship and a few other people from the group, from the fellowship. And then I came in to the grand session room, I guess it is, and didn't really know anyone. So I sat down at a table because my fellowship fellowship presenters were not in here yet. So I sat down at a table, and then I got up and was kind of walking around, and before I knew it, the whole table had filled in, and I went back to that table and introduced myself because I thought it would be weird to walk up and grab my bag and walk away from the table. Those teachers were as nice and friendly as can be and so welcoming, and got to hang with them later on in the day too. Just phenomenal human, not just phenomenal educators, phenomenal human beings. I'll tell you that much. Each one of them, I haven't met one yet that I just shake my head, because they're all just salt of the earth. Phenomenal. Just love being here. Our welcome session and keynote address, we had two speakers here. Dr. Natasha Murray was speaking. She's a chair of the board of directors for NSTOY. And then we had John King here, and he actually is a former U.S. Secretary of Education for Barack Obama, and he was on the cabinet for President Barack Obama, and just hearing both of them speak, just very inspirational. It's super cool because I got to hear each of them kind of speak separately, but they did a thing during the presentation that I thought was really fascinating. Where Dr. Murray was asking John King different questions and kind of guiding him through it. It was kind of like almost like an interactive discussion up there. They had comfy chairs sitting up there on the stage, and they were just having a conversation, and teachers from the audience could ask questions. And I couldn't stop taking notes because I wanted to reflect on everything that I was learning, and I was learning so much. It was great. It's interesting. It's so cool because the head of NSTOY actually gave me a gift bag, a presenter gift bag, and it actually had John King Jr.'s book in it. Teacher, The People Who Change Our Lives, Teacher by Teacher is the name of the book. And it is, once again, that former U.S. Secretary of Education. And so getting that book and then getting to hear John King speak in person, what a treat. Phenomenal. And hearing Dr. Murray share also her experience of working in lower socioeconomic schools and school districts, and just her experience too was very powerful. And just having them on stage together, it got me really fired up. I'll tell you that. Now, some things that really caught my attention about John King and what he said here. He was actually talking about his mom died when he was in the fourth grade, and he talked about there was a 3 years where he had this teacher that kind of looped with him, and it really gave him a structure and made it a safe space for him to be successful when he was kind of falling apart because of his mom's death. It was interesting hearing him talk about that. There was a age gap between him and his mom, and his dad. And his dad was dealing with Alzheimer's and his health issues. He ended up living with his older brother that was in his 20s, and that wasn't a good fit. They had a thing where a lot of the pets they were collecting, and it just wasn't a good fit for a 20-year-old raising a 12-year-old, if you will. So, and he just wanted a normal life, and it ended up his uncle and aunt adopted him, and he was able to live with them and kind of gave him the structure he needed. Now, when he got to college, he felt kind of like imposter syndrome, where he almost it almost had trouble justifying or like feeling worthy of being in college almost because of his days of getting in trouble when he was younger. And he talked about struggling with that. And he talked about how important it is for teachers to not give up on kids because, you know, he went from being a student who had behavior challenges and just with the trauma of losing his mom and the lack of structure to, once again, being, Secretary of Education for the U.S. How powerful is that? He talked about what got him in education was he was doing some conflict resolution teaching and working at a summer camp and an after school program. It got him into really being excited about teaching. He loved helping others and doing for others. And boy, isn't that true? Isn't that what we do here? We give to others. That's what we're about here. We pour ourselves into our work, not for the work's sake, but because we know it's going to, as teachers, we know it's going to plant those seeds and it's going to give students a better start in life. And that's what this is all about, right? And so he actually talked about starting a middle school in Boston. And he is really interesting. It made me think about, I'm where I'm going next year to teach, because he was talking about the those middle grades or at the middle school that he started about the importance so he talked about getting kids ready for college and career ready. It's, and bringing in, being very positive for kids and trying to plant those seeds in students, getting them to think about, their future. And that's one where I'm teaching next year. That's one of the things I'm going to be really focusing on is planting those seeds and getting students to think about their future careers and what that might look like. Future careers, whether it's a trade school, whether it's whatever it is, but looking to a future that is involves helping others and impacting others, and those middle ranges, fifth grade up, eighth grade, are perfect grade levels to do that. And so him talking about that, John talking about that, got me really excited and let me know that I'm going in the right direction for what I'm thinking. And he actually talked about too, is in the middle school, he talked about actually, they did things like summer programs and Saturday programs and longer days and, really spent time looking at the culture of professional learning and spending time preparing and planning for teaching kids. He's really big into talking about the importance of rigor and joy in a classroom. We want, and I talk about that too. In fact, tomorrow I'm going to talk about it in my presentation about being a funky teacher, is the importance of having discipline, but and making students work hard, but also having joy and excitement in the classroom. So he talked about rigor and joy. He talked about a science teacher he had that transformed a classroom into a cell, and the students walked in, and the whole classroom was a cell, and how what an impact that made on him. I think he was a student in that classroom. I don't think it was a student in the middle school. I'm trying to think. I'm not 100% sure in my notes here now. It was either a student in the middle school. A teacher in the middle school that he ran, or it was a when he was growing up. I can't remember which one, but it was the point is, it was a science. He was sharing a story about this teacher who transformed his classroom into a cell to make it learning exciting for students it was important to try to replicate that type of energy and that type of creativity that the other teachers could try doing that. So, and tomorrow I'm going to talk about creativity too and the importance of creativity, where I've transformed my classroom into a medical ER and many other things too. So, John talked about the importance of teacher prep and like teacher prep programs. One of the things that's missing is teachers not getting enough guidance on classroom management and dealing with families. And I think I would agree with that. Now, when I work with adjunct instructor, I talk about classroom management because I know how important it is. And I talk about interacting with families and building those connections and those relationships with families. But, you know, King talked about the importance of being purposeful in teacher prep programs in addressing those two areas. Because teachers don't know what they don't know when they're starting off. And if they assume, it can turn into a big mess. I think I would definitely agree with that in so many ways. He talked about parent programs, even like the possibility of, like, hey, what skills do parents need to know that they don't have? Can we teach that to them in some way, or can society teach that in some way, and how might that look? So he's kind of getting us thinking there of the possibilities. King talked about the importance of making it easier for parents to partner with schools and teachers, and how true. We want to build those relationships. We know if we have stronger relationships with parents and families, that we're going to be more likely to have success with their children. I mean, that's just the bottom line there. If that relationship isn't there, it's going to make our job harder. And so it's really important to lean into that. King talked also about graduations and the importance of graduations, different graduations at different levels, from preschool graduations all the way to high school graduations and college. He said his most favorite one, though, is prison graduations, prisoners who actually go through and get some education. And he talked about the second chance Pell, like a Pell grant that was blocked for prisoners, and he talked about his efforts to try to undo that, so prisoners would be more likely could get some education, because he talked about it, when prisoners get an education, the likeliness of returning goes down by 40%. He said. And it completely changes the trajectory of their life. And I would agree with that. That makes complete sense to me when he was talking about that. And he talked about, I had never thought about that. But when he talked about it, it makes a complete sense. And so I appreciated hearing him talking about prison graduations and how meaningful those are to him. He also, King talked about the relationships with teachers. Dr. Murray did as well, and how important those relationships are. John King also talked about, the importance of education and how public education is so important for our democracy to survive. It starts with education, and when public schools are rejected, rejection of public schools, a rejection of public education is not good because it puts our democracy at risk. That makes a lot of sense as well. I didn't know this either. Is King talked about disabilities and how the United States of America is unique compared to other countries, where we focus so much on trying to help students with disabilities. Trying to meet needs of students who have disabilities. But he also talked about, that could be at risk depending on if what changes could possibly be made. And so it just got you thinking, John King wasn't trying to turn it political, but, it definitely, different decisions that are made definitely do have ramifications on society. King talked about career and technical schools, how important that is. And even if students can get education at the high school level and even leave high school with an associate's degree, how powerful that is. The one thing that really stuck out to a lot of things stuck out, but King talked about absenteeism and chronic absenteeism. He would argue, like, at the high school level, especially, chronic absenteeism is because those students don't see the usefulness of what they're learning, and that we have to make it useful to them and relevant to them and to their lives. You know, King talked so much stuff. Talked about cell phone bans and that cell phones and social media, that we haven't begun to realize how bad cell phones and social media is on kids' development. And it is kind of scary to think about. I think about this often as a teacher. I think about this as a parent. I worry about it for my own children, even. And there needs to be more, as a society, as a country, we need to be more aggressive on addressing this. And King really stressed that we can't just kind of be dismissive about cell phones and social media. And so we're moving in the right direction, the more and more cell phone bans that we're seeing, even though they're sometimes hard to be enforced. He did talk about being worried about AI and how AI might impact young people. That he made some very good points here too. I think so AI can serve a very valuable place, but it can also, when it's used responsibly, and it can work in a classroom, but it can also kind of distort or eliminate some of that higher level processing and thinking that writing can do for students. And so we just have to be careful of that as teachers and be in part of that conversation. King talked about we're not keeping up fast enough with AI growth and the changes, and because AI is changing so fast and we're not keeping up with it, he fears we're going to have problems with that. So, you know, and these are all things, he's just giving us things to think about. Now, there was someone from the audience who asked a really great question. I think it was a teacher of the year from Illinois, and she asked a really great question about teachers feeling discouraged and like future teachers, how would you how do you begin to help new teachers who are feeling discouraged by the state of education or might be at fear of being burnt out? And King talked about, well, his response was the importance of high expectations for these new educators, but also he talked about teaching these teachers about how they're saving lives and don't even realize it, and trying to instill in these new educators how impactful they are, and they might not even realize it. Sometimes as veteran teachers, I've taught 22 years, and sometimes I thought I didn't get through to a certain student, and then years later, you know, he shows up to my classroom and says what a difference I made in his life, and it blows me over. It blows my mind. And or I get a letter from a student who says how meaningful I was to helping her be successful. And you know, you encounter some of those, but new teachers, trying to reframe that thinking for new teachers is pretty important. And King talked about also how we've been through worse periods of history, and that we can't lose hope if there's bad things that are happening in society. He talked about his own family's history with in a matter of, you know, around slavery, in the institution of the horrible cruelty of institution of slavery, and in just three generations, his family went from slavery to being a cabinet in part of the cabinet for a president of the United States as a U.S. Secretary of Education. And that's just in three generations. And how powerful is that, right? So what and King challenged us to think about what types of ancestors do we want to be, you know, for our children and our children's children. And that's great. Another teacher also asked about protecting new teachers too, and you know, King just really kind of doubled down on focusing on students and focusing on the gifts that the teachers, new teachers have, and their transformative power, and that they help them to believe that they can make a difference, and that and how impactful it is on society. And then let me see here. I'm going through my notes here because I wrote down so many notes. I so enjoyed listening to King and Dr. Murray kind of go back and forth. And Dr. Murray had asked kind of leading questions, getting Dr. Murray into getting him to answer certain questions and kind of share different stories and different scenarios. It is really an interesting dynamic. I don't think any of us would disagree with this. King talked about how do you, what's one thing that education needs to be different in education? And he talked about paying teachers more, and that we can't just be trying to just move to meeting basic needs where we're just meeting like working conditions where I think of like bricks falling off the wall or just, you know, fixing a sink that's leaking. You got to go beyond that. Communities and the public have to do more to meet students' needs and to address working conditions of schools and educational environments. It's really interesting too. I've been saying interesting. This is really interesting because there was so many things that was interesting about what was being said during them talking. For like new teachers, King talked about like a residency based type of model where teachers spend more time in like a teacher preparation program, like a year. And I know some places do that, even around in the Midwest do that, like a year preparation program versus like a 30-day like a half a year. And a great point was made, like how do you start August if you're a student teaching in the spring? So you can definitely do if you're with a really solid classroom teacher or an educator, a resilience-based model could really do, I think, a lot of great things for students, or really great things for preparing that teacher, rather. He also talked about veteran teachers observing new teachers and trying to give them feedback, not to like critique and dump on them, but to really just kind of give them feedback to help guide them to be the best teachers that they can be. And like quality veteran teachers give that feedback and kind of help nurture and guide those new teachers into the profession. I'm just sitting here thinking. I'm kind of looking at the cover of the book, Teachers by Teachers. In the cover it says, Teachers by Teachers trace a remarkable journey of the 10th U.S. Secretary of Education as deeply personal love letter to all teachers in our lives. King talked about how important it was to do what we can to help encourage teachers to be in the profession, to stay in the profession, and not leave the profession, because he knows a good teacher, how impactful they are, because he tried to do that when with his teaching. he experienced it when his mom died. And so, you know, he lived it, and it was really just a fitting way to kick off our first night, I think, or our first day at the conference. Really got us thinking. So we wrapped. You know what they did too at this conference, in addition to the Dr. Murray and King speaking, they had several students, some younger girls and some older boys come in and perform with musical instruments and singing, and so much fun. It was fun. We're here because for the kids, and so it was neat to have kids come in and perform, and they did some entertainment too, kind of in between stuff. During our welcome session and keynote address, you know, we had a little bit of a time off there then, and I actually then was able to. I went walking around this resort grounds and was baking, as like in the Sandlot, baking like a toasted cheeser, like they say in the Sandlot. It was so warm and so humid out when I was walking outside. I was cooking. Kind of exploring the grounds, I walk around. I hadn't eaten today. I think I brought a Rice Krispie bar that my wife made. I brought that in a little baggie and ate that. But that's all I had all day. And then a couple pieces of licorice I had. I didn't eat anything else. So I was super hungry. And so I was able to end up by the pool, get a chicken sandwich and eat that. And then I went over they had a really nice welcome reception too, in the evening over at the Yacht Club Marina. And that was cool too, because we got to sit there. They gave us some drink tickets. We got to, we were dressed up, kind of dressed up and just kind of hung out and talked to people we had met, just fellow educators here at the conference. It was really exciting. They had some Disney fireworks off in the distance that you could see. It was beautiful out. Besides being super humid and sticky out, it was still a beautiful night. And I cannot say enough about what a great day it was. I came back to the general session room where I'm at right now, recording this, because I wanted to practice my presentation for tomorrow. I'm super excited. Tomorrow's going to be a big day. I have my 45-minute solo presentation, and then I have my Civics Catalyst Fellowship presentation too, a 45-minute presentation with the team of fellows there too. So two really meaningful and exciting presentations tomorrow. And then I'm going to also try to get to hear some other people too. I saw a few people that I know that I didn't get a chance to talk to, who I been part of a fellowship a year ago, that I want to talk to them and hopefully see them. I saw them from afar. But what a great day. Can't say enough. We got two more days here. And so tomorrow's going to be a long day. It's going to be a long day, but it's going to be a great day. So I'm going to go back to the room here and try to get some sleep here, and then get up and get going and wake up like my hair is on fire and kick off the day ready to share with some fellow educators here and then learn from fellow educators as well. So day one of the National Teacher Leadership Conference is in the books, and what a great day it was. The National Teacher Leadership Conference 2025 in Orlando, Florida. So I want to encourage you to inspire greatness in young people and to be a funky teacher. Bye now.
He's Mr. Funky Teacher, yeah. He's Mr. Funky Teacher, yeah, yeah, yeah.